Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Sunday night. Yes, Sunday night. Beautiful and stellar day today here in the U.S. We are celebrating mothers. Mothers of the two-legged creatures and the four-leggeds and even the no-legged fishies. A mother is a job, and sometimes it's not always the same species, but you're still a mom. I am very blessed with an 8-year-old daughter who is the love of my life, and you guys hear about her all the time and her mysteries and adventures. And if you're on my Facebook, you will see the very funny note that she also wrote to me today. And it's the weather has been so healthy. It was like 75 degrees today, which is my perfect favorite temp. I got to pull out my little tropical island bohemian dress and my flip-flops. I painted my toenails. I'm feeling good, and that's the way it should be here on Sunday. Gorgeous day. I have to tell you, it has been back-to-back crazy since the pre-launch of my book, so definitely go to my website and order yours now. It should be out in July. I've been back-to-back interviews all over the world promoting my book, and I'm excited and I'm scared and I'm excited and I'm scared. And I'll be on a show called Looking at the Bright Side tomorrow with Takemisha at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can definitely find her here on Blog Talk Radio, The Bright Side with Takemisha. Also, just to give you kind of a lot of warning, I am leaving Blog Talk Radio and going to a different radio station. So if you're not connected to my newsletter, you're not connected to me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Gluten Free Faces, and all of the other sites that I don't even remember anymore, but I automatically log in, you're going to have to connect because the radio station will be changing, hopefully by July. Lots of July transitions gearing up. It's been incredibly busy, and we're running out of time, so I want to make sure that I get David on and talking to us. I met David, a year and a half ago, maybe, through a friend. I needed a bodyguard, a third party, somebody who could stand up in court and say what really transpired, if anything were to transpire at this particular event. And that's where we met. He was very different than what I imagined. He wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger by any means, but he's fun, and he's got a great personality, and he's very knowledgeable. So when I saw on one of his Twitter feeds that he wrote a book, of course I had to reach out and say, I want to learn more about your book. What I didn't know was that he was a bugle boy. Yes, a bugle boy. They did exist, not the kind that you roll, but the kind that actually has sound. And a state trooper, he was a soldier in the Vietnam War. And so he wrote this book called Uniforms, and it's really a gritty tell-all tale of what it's like to be growing up in a small town here in New England and traveling the world and growing in a way that a lot of people don't actually really have the guts enough to talk about. I do have to warn you that parts of the book are kind of expletive-driven, but that's the style, that's his voice. When you go to look at for it on Amazon.com, you will definitely get a little taste of that. So without further ado, I'm going to pull on David after our sponsored commercial. ASEA has sponsored today's show, so when she's done, we will talk to David. I'm thrilled.
ASEA is the first and only source of balanced, stabilized redox signaling molecules outside the body. What does that mean? Enhanced immune function, protection against free radical damage, boosts efficiency of the body's own antioxidants by up to 500%, and provides superior support to athletes, for starters. To learn more about this amazing one-of-a-kind product and how it can enrich your life, go to ASEA-rocks.com. That's ASEA-rocks.com. Or call Teresa at 206-454-9000. 206-454-9226. Again, that's 206-454-9226.
Now, I have to warn you all that Teresa, the person to contact for that SCIA system, is actually going to be on the show in June. She's also an author, and that was really exciting to connect all those pieces together. As you grow and evolve and you learn about people, people are multifaceted, and I love it. And her book is going to be kick butt, and I have another announcement at the end of the show that has to do with David in regards to Teresa, because it's just going to be a full-in love affair with the three of us later on, because we're going to have David come on the show to talk about her book. But he doesn't know that yet. David, are you out there?
I'm right here.
No pressure, huh?
No pressure, yeah. I'm going to talk about a book that I don't know what we're talking about. I love it.
Well, evidently she married an axe murderer, and she was able to get, she survived through the divorce. And it's a true story.
It's going to be an amazing book.
That's for sure. I knew you'd love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to drag you kicking and screaming.
Listen, I first want to say that I really, really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, and I want to also say, you know, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, including you.
Thank you, thank you. So I have had the privilege of actually hiring you for service and then learning more about you, and we have a couple of things that we're going to be doing throughout the year, which I'm super excited about, and we'll talk about that later, but I really want to give the audience an understanding of who you are and what you do.
All right. Well, obviously, my name is Dave DeShano, and right now I own my own investigative company and security consulting company. We do it all, and I've grew up here in Rochester, and I'm local. I have been local my entire life so far, and I've had a lot of experiences as I've grown up through the ages. That's for darn sure, and that's where this book comes in that I wrote, which is called Uniforms.
All right, before we get into that, let's back it all the way up. Let's back up that train. So I know Bugle Boy as tobacco that we used to smoke when we were kids. You would roll it up, blue package, it was tobacco. But, you know, I heard rumor that people actually were Bugle Boys, and you were as a kid. Talk to us about that.
I was in Bugle Corps. And you know, you got to explain what a drum and bugle corps is, because people think
that
a drum and bugle...
No, you've got to explain that, because
I know that.
I was a fun girl.
Well, people think that a drum and bugle corps is like a band, and it's not. It's nothing like a band at all, because all it is, it's drums and bugles, and we had a color guard, and I was in the drum and bugle corps, which was out of Rochester, and it was called the Grenadiers, and it was a great time. I was in there for 10 years, from the time I was 8 years old till I was 18, and
wow.
I was a soprano bugler, and while I was in there, I mean, it was most fascinating thing, because I've got to do and go to a lot of places that a lot of kids my age just couldn't do.
Right.
I mean, we even paraded for John F. Kennedy when he was elected president in Washington,
wow.
D.C.
Wow.
I mean, it was just a heck of an experience for us. And we weren't bad. We were good. It was approximately, you know, 65 to 70 kids, and everybody was between the age of probably 13 years old to 21. It's called a junior drum and bugle corps.
Nice.
And we paraded everywhere, and I mean everywhere. We did the World's Fair in New York. We did the World's Fair, the Expo in Montreal. We paraded all over New England, and it was a real good experience that I'll never forget. And I wrote about it in the book. It's in the chapter. It has its own chapter, which is chapter 3 of my book. And it's just fascinating to learn what happens in a drum and bugle corps and the life that we led and the things
right.
that we did.
It sounds very honorable.
Yes, it is. That was my second uniform that I ever wore, because my first uniform that I wore was a parochial school. I went to a Catholic school, and which was taught by nuns. And
no wonder you don't have any fingers.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you, the nuns. That is really something. Anybody who's ever been to a parochial school with nuns knows exactly what I'm talking about. And and I talk about the the parochial school part of my life, in chapter 2. And I was still in parochial school, obviously, when I was in the drum corps.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents do? What did they do for work?
My father was a firefighter in Rochester, and my mother worked at the woolen mill in Rochester.
In Rochester. So yep. You were raised in a very traditional Catholic, hardworking, and firefighters. I personally have a thing for men in uniform, so I totally get why your mom, too, is a firefighter. But, so your home base was very much service, very much impacted by the choices you made later on. Were your parents really thrilled about your bugle boy status?
Yeah, my mother was probably my biggest fan. She was so proud of the way that we played. I mean, I was a soloist for many years. I was the soloist for the corps. And we had a very good repertoire, and it was very, very crowd-pleasing. And matter of fact, I still play today. I play for my own satisfaction, and that is my stress release.
Wow, I didn't know that. See, all these secrets I get to dig out of you. Awesome. So, all right, so you went to parochial school. Did you go out even through high school, or were you done in middle school like most?
No, I went through high school with the nuns. And
okay.
What had happened is that the diocese ran out of money my junior year, so I had to finish my senior year at Spalding High School in Rochester, and that's where I graduated from, was Spalding, and it's all
mm-hmm.
because they had to close the school down.
Amazing. So now you've graduated high school, you're this soloist bugle boy guy with a firefighter father and a hardworking mother working at the wool mills. What time period was this?
Well, the book spans an era from the 1950s through the 1960s, and it tells a story, my story, of how I grew up, what
mm-hmm.
happened, prior, to me going to school, and how, we amused ourselves in those days. It wasn't the same as the way the kids do it today. I mean, we didn't have all the things the kids have. Let's face it.
Yeah,
I mean,
we had little switchblades and frogs. Well, my generation anyway, and we had firecrackers and hours and hours and hours running around the neighborhoods in the woods, building forts. We didn't have iPhones and any of that.
We didn't have any of those things. And it's funny though. I mean, let's face it. Growing up in those days was fantastic because everybody knew you. You couldn't do anything, because if you did, they'd be on the phone calling your parents anyway.
Right.
And your parents never worried about you or where you were or what you were doing, because you hung around with the same group. And
right.
It was all neighborhood groups, and all neighborhood kids.
Yep.
And so, you didn't stray too far from home, but like you said, we played in the woods. I lived next to the fairgrounds in Rochester when I grew up, and we played in the fairgrounds, and I mean, that was our backyard.
Yeah, wow. So the current fairgrounds that are there now, because as everybody knows, I'm not local. I'm from the South. I'm kind of lost up here. So the current fairgrounds was actually your backyard. Neat.
Yes,
that must have been fun. That must have been a lot of
fun. Because I was able, they had horse racing back then, because they stopped it only a few years ago. And my brother and I, my older brother and I, we and that was real good. And I mean, I got to take a racehorse. It was a fantastic black stallion. They didn't pay us a lot of money, but they didn't have to. We had a lot of fun doing it.
Right.
And we would bathe the horses, and we would get them ready for the races. And then after the race, you know, we would take care of them. We would feed them. We'd clean out their stalls, do whatever you had to do. And we would exercise the horse.
So what did you want to be when you growed it up? When you were a kid with your brothers playing out in the field, how many children did your mom have?
There was five of us.
That's what I thought.
And
I remember that.
And it was two separate families. There was myself, who was the youngest at first, and then I had an older brother and an older sister. And then 8 years later, my mother had another girl, my other sister. And then 10 years later after that, they had my younger brother.
Oh, my God.
So it was like they had two different families.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I am considerably older than any of my siblings. Considerably, 10 to 12 years older. So it's very much more of an aunt role versus, you know, that taunting brotherly, sisterly role. So what did you want to be when you growed it up, so to speak, when you were running around in the woods causing mischief and hanging out with horses?
Well, I didn't know back then when I wanted to be. Maybe a fireman, who knew? But I did pretty much set my goals in high school on being a member of the state police in New Hampshire.
Okay, so you knew that. See, that's a secret I didn't know either. All right, so why did you join the war?
Well, what happened is that I turned 18 years old, and the Vietnam War was really escalating. The draft was out. We didn't have, you know, my parents didn't have a lot of money, you know, so I wasn't going to college. My grades were just, I did enough to get through high school. And
right.
So consequently, I did not want to be drafted. I always loved the Marine Corps uniform. And so I decided when I turned 18 to join the Marines, and I did.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, Semper Fi is right. Thank you so much. And,
you're welcome.
You know, and I knew, you know, that I was probably destined for one place because of that Vietnam War thing. And so that's exactly what happened. I mean, I went through boot camp at Parris Island at 18.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I wrote about that. That's in Chapter 4 of the book. And I didn't leave anything out about boot camp, believe me. That was one heck of an experience. And anybody who knows anything about the Marines and going through boot camp, especially at Parris Island, again, can relate to everything that I talk about in the book.
And that was one of the things that I found most interesting about your book is when a person meets you, you're a very sweet person. You have a little bit of grit to you, but you've been in the military and a state trooper for 20 years, and now you're a PI. So you've been there, you've done that, you've seen it. But what I love about you and why I try to keep tabs on you is because you're authentic, you're real. So talk to us about the process of really being able to talk about that information, even though boot camps changed a lot over the years, for the better or for the worse, who knows. But what was that like to really be very clear on your authentic truth of those situations, because it was a lot different?
Yeah, so I don't know how different it is. I know that the physical part of the training probably is pretty much the same because they still have the obstacle course and they still have the crucible, which is the slide of life, they still have the hand-to-hand combat, the punji sticks and all that other stuff that they train with. Punji stick, mm-hmm. by the way, is about a 4-foot stick, and on both ends of the stick you have they're like you're wearing boxing gloves, but they're on the end of the stick, and you and your opponent go at each other and see who can knock each other, which one is going to knock who down first.
Right.
When I talk about going through boot camp, I did it in a way that it's kind of comical because I tried to make light of a lot of the situations, especially the bad situations. I talk about going through the gas chamber, which they put us through. I had no idea why, but I kept hearing about, we had to go through the gas chamber because this guy in Vietnam by the name of Charlie, he was going to kill us. And, everything was about this guy in Vietnam by the name of Charlie. And
We kind of brushed on that a little bit the other night in regards to, that was kind of the generic name for all Vietnamese, is that correct?
Well, no, the Charlie was a generic name for the Viet Cong. And the reason why it was a generic name for Viet Cong, because we used the radio, obviously, we were in the field in Vietnam, and with all the noise in the background, everything was done, it's called the military phonetic alphabet. And using the military phonetic alphabet, everything was like D David, A Alpha, V Victor. Those were the kinds of things that we did. Well, Charlie came about because the VC was the Viet Cong. And so when you talked about it on the radio, it came down to watch out for the VC. And then after a while, they shortened it up and C stood for Charlie, where V was Victor. And it was always Victor Charlie. So that was the VC, and they were the communists. And so what they would do is they would then stop using the Victor and just started using Charlie. And that's how we got the name, Charlie, and he was the VC. He was the Viet Cong. He was, the communists, and those are the people that we were at war with.
Very cool. We have about 5 minutes left of the show, believe it or not. It goes by really, really, really crazy fast. So tell our listeners a synopsis of the book, like a summary.
Well, the book, it takes you through my life as a child into adolescence, and during the adolescence part, like I said, it takes in, not only school, it takes in the going to the Drum and Bugle Corps, and then it takes me into going into the military, what happens while I'm in the military, going through all the training that I went through, which was intense. And then also then going over into Vietnam, where I spent two tours of duty in Vietnam from 1969 to 1970.
So why did you write the book?
I wrote the book because it's something that I always wanted to do. It was always in the back of my mind. But, growing up wearing uniforms like I did, I was always, around discipline. Everything was discipline.
Yeah.
I mean, all the uniforms that I wore, played a significant factor in my discipline and the way that I turned out, and which shaped me into the guy I am today.
And you want to hang out with me, that just means you want to go and toilet paper somebody's house. I'm going to get you out of that, that uniform, get you out of the discipline. Time, live a little.
I think my discipline is probably instilled too deep, to be honest with you, Rusty.
I'll work on it, darn it. So where can we find you and your information?
The uniforms can be found either on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The book is out. It's been out for a while. If anybody wants to have the book personalized and they want to order the book by email, they can always email me, and I will personalize the book for them. I'll sign it, and I will send it to them. My email address is David, which is David, at Standa, which is STANDA.com. And if they don't want to buy the book that way, they can buy the book, like I said, at Barnes & Noble. I do have a signing coming up on June 7th. I'll be in Newington at Barnes & Noble. And they do have the book there. And I will be there to sign a book if anybody wants to come along and buy the book and have it signed.
All right. Which Barnes & Noble? The one in Portsmouth, New Hampshire?
The one in Newington.
Here.
The one in Newington.
Okay, so that is Newington, New Hampshire, Barnes & Noble. Stop by. And what day was that again?
June 7th. It's a Saturday.
June 7th, yep. Very cool. So if there was one message that you would love over 200,000 people on an international level to take away from today's show, what would it be?
It would be that, you know, I have a lot to tell and about discipline and about what life was like growing up in the 50s and 60s. And this is the real deal. This is a true story. There's no fabrication at all. I can honestly tell you I have never, ever spoken about my Vietnam days in 43 years, but I was able to write about it, and that's exactly what I did.
Very cool. Well, I am grateful to you. I'm grateful to learn more about your story. I know that we're going to try to connect tomorrow, and I actually get to put my little mitts on the book and look at some of the photos that you had inserted. But I heard a dirty rumor. You're a PI. You can help me, you know, find out if this is true or not. But I heard the dirty rumor that you're making another book. Is that right?
Yes, I am. I plan to follow this book up by two other books. One of them is going to be about my state police years, and the other one's going to be about what I do now. It's going to be I'm going to write about the investigative side of what goes on, you know, in the private sector.
And I'm all over that, like butter on toast. Just saying. So I am going to have to say goodnight and adieu. And hopefully we'll get to connect tomorrow and talk more, and we have a few mischievous encounters, and I'm going to break you out of your discipline shell just a little bit, get your toes out of those shoes, those boots, so to speak, over the next few months. But I don't want to tell people too much. I want to leave them hanging.
Well, I think the biggest thing we can leave them hanging with is the sequel to this book is going to be unbelievable. I'm going to pick up where I left off, the homecoming that I received when I came back from Vietnam is just unbelievable, and it wasn't a good experience. I wasn't treated good. I was called a baby killer. I was spit on at the airport at LAX, and I was pretty much treated like I was some sort of criminal. And
that's
going to
be
gonna
part
talk,
two. We've got about 30 seconds left to the show, so I need to close. But you are definitely coming back on a few more times, actually, to talk more about your story. So thank you so much, Dave. Dave, a big hug to you, and I will talk to you soon.
And thank you for having me on your show. It's been a pleasure.
All right, darling. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I am so grateful that we get to walk this journey together. I love you. You're beautiful. your path is what it's supposed to be. We get to do this together and have some amazing people a part of it. Until Wednesday.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.